It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on and on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. I'm the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jason Murray, and my microphone has now started working, so
it
that's
has
fantastic.
Indeed.
I'm Jeff Quattrini.
I don't have to leave in a half.
I was going to
storm out and go home and watch Eurovision.
Okay, you guys keep talking for just a moment because I'm only getting half a channel through.
That's right, yep. We'll have to swap that over while we're
here.
Jeff, what have you been up to this week?
I'll give a very, very quick shout out. I got a message from a couple of people who are listening over the interwebs, thanks to technology.
Is it your mum?
No. Well, my mum is probably listening. Maybe your mum is listening as well.
I think my mum might be listening. Hi, mum.
However, a quick shout out to Toby and Rob, who are making me jealous. They're having a beer by the fire and listening to us. It's
really?
Kind of nice.
Really?
Yeah.
I can think of better things to do while having a beer by the fire, but we'll take it. Thank you, guys.
If they had a life. But
ooh,
nonetheless,
well, they're not going to be listening next week now, are
they? No, but thanks for tuning in.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
How was your weekend?
My weekend has been all Eurovision all the time. It's that time of
that
year.
That is not true.
Yes, it's true.
That is not true.
No, you haven't seen my playlist. I've become quite a fan of Eurovision over the last few years, and so I was very excited this week. I was up at 5 a.m. this morning watching Australia perform and very nearly take out the entire contest.
Wait.
Spoilers if you are watching it at home, but if you are watching it at home, being that we record this on a Sunday night, you are probably either watching Eurovision or you're listening to The Gadget Grill. It's only one of two things that anyone would be doing.
I almost became a Eurovision fan. I woke up this morning, noticed that we were in first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then
you summarily tweeted me.
Wait, I was all over the place because I was like, Jason, what's going on? Are we actually going to win this?
Mm-hmm.
What's involved? And then we didn't.
Yeah, we didn't.
So now I don't like it. I propose a world vision where every country gets to participate on a level playing field, and that would be actually really cool.
Indeed, and I've got to be perfectly frank with both of you. Jason, you will remember my opinion of last year's choice to represent Australia.
I remember your opinion of any music after 1970.
That's pretty much it, yeah. But you will recall that on Friday night at the dinner table, I did say to you that I did approve of...
Oh, Dami M.
Dami M.
She is a wonderful choice to represent.
She is a much better choice than what's-his-name from last year.
Who was it last year?
Who cares?
So that's
how I officially refer to him.
I actually love the fact that Australia was there in a competition we don't really fit into because we're not in Europe.
No, hang on. Where is 30% of Australia's heritage come from these days?
Well, I wouldn't have said Korea.
Well,
right? Because we sent a Korean
what
over.
What is your...
No, we didn't. We sent an Australian.
Mr. Quattromani.
She was born in Korea.
Mr. Quattromani, what is your heritage? Quattromani.
My parents are from Malta.
Right.
Yes. But I didn't sing in Eurovision.
Thank God.
Malta did. They
did fourth.
Malta didn't give us any points either.
Nor should they have.
No.
it's because they gave us all their people.
Yeah.
So that's the problem. But I was so proud that Australia was there. For starters, and we entered somebody who wasn't actually born in Australia. I love that. That actually shows that Australia is multicultural.
It's actually pretty common. Like a lot of the other countries enter people who may not have been born there, but had made their home there. And it's a great thing for multiculturalism. It's fantastic. We're holding up a mirror to multicultural society.
Absolutely.
Yes. As is our wont.
Take that, Waleed.
Wow, okay.
Well, that was the other thing too, Waleed Ali winning the Gold Logie.
The Gold Logie, yeah.
I could not think of a more deserving person.
Yeah.
Seriously, he is an intelligent, articulate person on popular TV. Now, how wrong is that in Australia?
I don't know.
My compliments to Waleed Ali.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. See us how we're in such a loving mood.
I know. We've really gone out early. Welcome to the Entertainment Grill, everyone.
I love that we managed to cover pulp culture for once. That's kind of cool.
Did you say pulp culture?
He did.
Yes, and melons.
As opposed to poop culture.
Moving forward.
It's gone well early.
Ladies and gentlemen, the good news is it's all downhill from here.
It's a good start, though.
we have actually just crested over the hill.
Seeing as how we have crested, and we're talking about all sorts of things, loving and enjoyable. I'm going to open the music for the Tonight Show. For Tonight Show with Dr. John Mac Rebenack and Ricky Lee Jones, whom I absolutely love. And they are making Whoopee. And hopefully the system will work.
Boom.
It is.
Another bride, another groom, another sunny honeymoon, another season, and that's the reason for making whoopee.
A lot of shoes, a lot of rides, the groom is nervous, he answers twice, it's really killing. For me, whoopee.
Picture a little love nest down where the roses swing. Picture that same sweet love nest. Dang what the years can bring.
He's washing dishes and baby clothes. He's so ambitious, he even sews.
So don't forget, folks, that's what you get, folks, for making whoopee.
This I hear. Well, can't you guess? She feels neglected, and you suspect her of making whoopee.
She sits alone.
You are back with The Gadget Grill on 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Do you recall when there was a technical term for that geeks would have used called fingering when you wanted to find an IP address that you were looking at?
Yes,
I did. And then the teenagers took it.
Yes. And did you notice that Jason was just fingered?
I expect you to take me out for dinner and light conversation at the very least beforehand.
I did. Yeah, you want that up or down?
No, down.
I just for the listeners at home, I was pointing at Jason to bring in the show, as was Gary.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. He was...
I got fingers from both directions.
Indeed you did, you lucky man, you. Oh, lucky... Oh.
Oh. It's a party in Berlin.
Can we talk
boys.
About some news?
How about Jeff? You lead off with the news, and I'm going to see if I can find a particular song.
Look, I'm more than happy to. Just a quick piece from me, actually. In Russia, of all places, they had a medieval festival this week, and it was a hoot, as you'd expected, a medieval festival. And
did they kill an owl?
No, not quite an owl, actually.
It wasn't much of a hoot,
but this
then.
Is where it's going, is that somebody was flying a drone over the festival to capture all the excitement of the day.
Did they declare it witchcraft?
It was. I don't want to say shot down. Someone threw a spear at it and brought the drone to the ground.
Wow, that's impressive.
So they didn't like their alien imposter,
that.
I guess.
I saw that.
I just think that's hilarious, bringing the drones down.
Oh, that's fantastic.
They're absolutely correct that... A medieval festival is absolutely not a place to have a drone.
No technology.
What place is a place to have a drone?
Oh, I can underwater. Think of many.
A beehive.
What?
Go ahead. Facebook is planning to bring 360-degree photo sharing to its timeline.
I think it's ready.
I think it is ready. I think it's time to do it. There's a number of 360-degree cameras on the market.
Yep.
The problem with all of them is you can't share the photos with anyone.
So it's interesting because you can already watch 360-degree video on Facebook.
You can, but I don't think everyone can publish it. Only a few people can. They quite famously did the... I think you have to be whitelisted for it, but they very famously did the 360 degree version of the Game of Thrones intro.
Do I look excited ago. By this Facebook news, guys?
Oh, that's right. We have an un-Facebook.
Right. We said Facebook.
A man with no Facebook ID.
Indeed, and he's not really
a man at all.
I am proud of it. I am proud of it.
Yeah, I can't prove that he exists.
Is he here?
I can't hear anything.
See him on Facebook.
I can't hear anything.
What? Pardon?
Was that a noise in my headphone?
Or are you just pleased to see me?
Stop pointing at each other.
That makes no sense.
Nope.
EVs, electrical vehicles.
Yeah. Oh, I know where you're going already.
Expensive. Correct? No,
that's
I'm not.
That's what the E means,
no,
isn't it?
No?
Expensive vehicle.
Expensive vehicle, yeah. No, I'm not going down there, not yet. We'll go down that path a little bit later, Jess.
Do I need to get my finger ready?
Oh, you may do. But some people have come up with a car called the Arkimoto SRK.
Mm.
And this is a small, quick, and affordable electric car.
Oh, I think I saw some of the
has an, during the week. Has a range of between 70 and 130 miles, a top speed of 80 miles an hour.
That's enough.
And wait for it, the cost, $12,000. Mm.
I'll take one.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is something that they're hoping to get onto into production in the next couple of years. Just a small two-seater type of thing, just a small sort
That's
of city
all it needs
vehicle.
To be, really.
Yeah. Get you two from work.
I'll take it.
Yeah, shopping basket type of thing.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I guess if you think in terms of something like the smart car, but think of that as electric.
Yep.
This makes a lot of sense. And at $12,000, that's got to be.
That's peanuts.
That's got to be peanuts, yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Absolutely.
Moving slightly in that same direction, actually, Hyperloop.
Something
which we've spoken about before on the
Indeed.
Show. Had its first somewhat test. I mean, it doesn't look like it will look in its final product, but they did a prototype in the desert of basically just running the technology, and it worked flawlessly.
It was. What was its acceleration rate?
It's something ridiculous.
Someone said it was something like 0 to 400 miles an hour in a few seconds.
It went from standstill to 60 miles per hour in 100 kilometers an hour in 1 second.
1 second? Yep. That's
one
almost peel your face off the back of the cabin.
Yeah, that sounds safe. Oh, you're standing. Whoops.
yeah, like when you get on the bus and the bus driver takes off without waiting for you to get a seat. Yeah,
man, that's a
this
bus.
This is going to be the new pizza delivery system, guys.
I really hope so.
But essentially, they're saying that it's using the power of magnets, and that once it does come live, it'll reach speeds of 700 miles per hour.
But part of the technology here, of course, is they're using a tube within which the vehicle is going to be transported.
Damn right.
I think that's a good thing.
That's probably a good thing, right?
Yeah. No.
You don't want a cow to stray onto the Hyperloop track. It'll end up in the next stage.
Well, that's,
it'll be mince.
That's right. But when I saw this technology, it reminded me, and you still see this in stores sometimes.
Pneumatic tubes.
The pneumatic tubes.
Absolutely.
Or the vacuum. They're really vacuum rather than pneumatic. You put your money into a little container, a little cartridge, push it in the chute, and the vacuum sucks it up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And while the means of transportation is different, how different is the underlying basic concept of the technology? I don't think it's that different.
Well, I think it is a little bit different, isn't it? You're not actually being sucked in by a vacuum, are you?
Using magnets.
Well, being sucked in by a vacuum could lead to some other physical issues during the during the trip.
Yes.
However, the basic underlying concept, I think, the thought behind it, isn't that different.
The vehicle travelling through the tube. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Hey, interesting. Google released a keyboard this week.
They did.
For about bloody time, too.
Although it was only for iOS.
Yeah. Oh, that's because Google's keyboard has existed on Android for a while, but it's very different on iOS.
This is totally different.
Yeah, it's the Gboard.
And it's only in the US.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's Does it work down at the beach when you're surfing?
No.
And it's called Gboard. You know how hard that was to try and even search for in the first place? I typed in Google Keyboard thinking I'd find it, didn't.
Yeah.
And then I typed in Gboard.
Did you end up not finding it because it's not in the App Store?
Well, that was the final thing. That was the other problem. You know what? I'm never going to find this thing. Yeah. It's just not there.
No. The mistake was, Jeff, that you spelt it B-O-A-R-D when you should have spelt it B-O-R-E-D.
I agree, because Google's been bored. They made a keyboard.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to go back in time a little bit, as I have a tendency to do from time to time.
Are you going to step back in time?
I'm going to step back in time. Mm-hmm. We're going to step right back, ladies and gentlemen, because all music today pretty much is digital. Okay. Now, you guys know pretty well that I enjoy digital because digital music is convenient. It is very convenient to have a laptop here with 28,000 songs on it, and I can pick and choose the music that I want to play very easily.
Uh-huh.
However, I'm constantly reprimanding young Mr. Quattromani here because he still hasn't set up his turntable, have you?
I still haven't.
Do you have any vinyl to play on the turntable?
I still have not.
Okay.
I don't know why I bought it, really. I think it was a thing.
Obviously, it's a thing.
I was going to be trendy. Oh, look at me, I've got a record player.
You are such a hipster.
Yeah. But then I just didn't follow through with it.
Yeah, when I was such a hipster with your little Ferrari jacket on.
I know. It was like
buying the kale but never actually eating it.
That's how it should... Well, you shouldn't even buy it in the first place, but yes.
Well, some organic dude in Surry Hills would say I should, but...
When I was in primary school, I can remember walking home from my primary school and then from high school. We're going back a long way,
carrying a record player in your pocket?
No.
But there'd be... Cylinder.
But on Gardner's on Gardner's Road at Kingsford, there was the Odeon Music Store.
Okay.
And you could go in there and you could rifle through records, singles, albums, and you could get the person behind the counter to put one on the turntable and play it, and you could listen to it sometimes through the speaker system in the store.
Yep.
Sometimes, if you were really lucky, you'd get to listen to it through headphones. And the record store has pretty much totally disappeared over the last few years. It transformed into the CD store, which we all know and love.
Yep.
And in the last 10 years, of course, the CD store has pretty much disappeared as well.
As they should.
In some cases, they've come back and then disappeared again.
Indeed, they have.
Yep.
In Perth, a guy by the name of Chris Kabilis has created Ghost of Record Store, which is a sound installation artwork that's been commissioned by the Perth Public Art Foundation, and it's a way of people can actually go down and listen to music, records, as we used to do back in the 60s, 70s and 80s.
Except now it costs like millions of dollars for them to do this, and they need this a government grant in order to run it.
Yeah, this is free.
Yeah.
Because this is an art exhibition. And what he's done, because it's called Ghost of a Record Store, what signifies a ghost?
Things being thrown at you?
Close.
Yeah.
Throw.
I don't even know where this...
Colour. What colour?
White.
Black.
He's thrown a white sheet over everything in the store to make it look like it's a ghostly... To give you the ghostly experience.
It's very Yoko Ono for me.
Well, it's art, Jeff. I know you don't understand art.
I don't at all, honestly.
Do you know what else you can store like all your all your songs and music on?
Tell me.
A 256 GB micro SD card.
Indeed.
Which Samsung launched this week. I thought I'd drag us kicking and screaming back to the news.
Indeed. Well, this was news. You know, an art exhibition that relates to technology, I think, is news.
Yeah.
But absolutely. And then there's the story this week about SanDisk and Western Digital.
What have they done together?
What haven't they done together?
Have they made a baby?
A baby is not quite the right word, but that's on the way. The marriage has been consummated.
What, are they merging?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they merging or did they purchase? Well, I think SanDisk was purchased.
SanDisk was purchased by Western Digital.
So as I was sort of like growing up in my teens, like SanDisk was this company that could do no wrong with memory cards and everything, and now they've been purchased.
I would have thought it would be the other way around, if anything.
Yeah, I would have.
I see SanDisk as a bigger brand than Western Digital.
Yeah.
That's, I think, because SanDisk are much more prevalent in the consumer side of things. When we think of buying memory cards for our phones, for our tablets, for our cameras, we think in terms of buying SanDisk. When we look inside our computers, we're looking at physical hard disks, or when we're looking inside a server,
that's Western Digital,
and we're looking at Western Digital or Seagate.
Yeah, so that's actually somewhere where SanDisk is hoping to move into as a result of this acquisition. They want to have more of a product range in the enterprise space.
Yes,
I like it. Good for them.
That is actually very big news on the technology side.
It is.
The size of that, it's on the scale of the merger from a few years ago of AT&T attempting to purchase T-Mobile or AOL huge. And Time Warner. It's huge.
Yeah.
It's
the kind
of thing that actually requires regulatory approval.
Yes. Yes. Jeff, what's next from you?
I'm out.
You're out?
I got one more.
Go for it.
Are you familiar with Volte, voice over LTE?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so Vodafone.
Vodafone and Optus too, I think.
Yeah, Vodafone and Optus have both been talking about their Volte plans this week. Basically, what happens when you use a 4G phone at the moment is that when you try to make a phone call on it, it drops back to a 2G or a 3G network in order to make the voice connection, so your data will drop off or slow down. Voice over LTE makes a voice connection over that LTE data connection,
over
so you don't drop
connection.
Off 4G.
Yes.
And so Vodafone has actually had Volte going on their network in some locations since sort of late last year. And they've actually come out and said this week that it will be live on all of their network by the end of the year.
Interesting.
I really want them to go to a point where they're not even doing voice. It doesn't have to be over a cellular network. I want it so I can make a call that if my cellular signal is so bad, it can use my Wi-Fi signal or something like that. Because in my house,
Wi-Fi calling, yeah.
So
that's been around for ages. Because you get your femtocells. Yes,
no, but can't get femtocells everywhere.
I have got a femtocell at home. I've got an Optus femtocell at home that has been sitting there unused now for
It doesn't work for all networks.
Yeah, it only works for the Optus network because it's an Optus femtocell.
So I think what Jeff's saying is that if he's cellular data is poor, but he's in a public cafe that has Wi-Fi. Someone calls him, they should be able to reach him over that network that his phone registers onto.
Or even
that
when
is
I roam.
What Wi-Fi calling.
Even when I roam, though, right? So if I was in a hotel in Japan on their Wi-Fi, I should be able to receive calls and make calls using the internet.
So
using my phone number.
So Volte is kind of the start of that technology.
Yeah, it
because
is. Yeah.
It is actually voice over IP for the
Skype.
No, it's not, because it's actually part of the technology on your phone and the cellular network.
I know.
Part of it is actually related to that technology, so it does give network a jumping off point to actually do that.
Mm. Now I'll cover the electric vehicle story that you thought I was going to cover. Jeff?
I know, go for it.
In San Diego, a company has developed an electric-powered Ferrari.
I think it's so cool too.
In some ways, it's cool. It's got 415 horsepower. They took a burnt out Ferrari shell, restored it, put three electric motors into it. It was a 308 GTS for those who want to know. Got rid of the V8, and they've put in three quiet electric motors. What do you think?
Why do they need three?
I presume to power the each of the rear wheels separately, and I guess the front wheels maybe, I don't know. But that's what they're doing, three engines in there, three electric motors. Torque would be absolutely amazing.
That would be.
The sound of the car would be absolutely...
There it is. That's the sound right
Who
there.
Who gives a damn?
Be gone. and that would be the most disheartening thing, is being in a Ferrari and not hearing...
The Ferrari.
That's half the experience, surely.
It is more than half the experience. You've been to Italy. Have you been down to Fiorino test circuit there in Maranello?
No? No, but I did get the chance to drive a Ferrari 458 in Barcelona.
Okay.
So the sound is literally the majority of it, because you can't really let loose on the public roads, but the sound is always
when
there.
When you go to Maranello, you go to the museum. The museum's... As you turn into the street where it is, you go to the museum, wonderful place, Go down the road a little bit further and cross the other side of the road. You've got the factory or part of the factory. And at the end of the street, it's a dead end and there's a paling fence, just your normal wooden paling fence. But if you're there on the right day, you'll hear this noise. And we were there and we're at the museum and we're hearing this buzzing that sounds like mosquitoes. It was 2 days after the Monza
Formula One. Live demonstration.
Yeah, it was 2 days after the Formula One race at Monza in 2001. And they had the Formula One cars running around the test track there. You wander down to the fence, stick your head over the fence, and you're watching the Formula One guys going around.
That's pretty cool.
That is that is as cool as it gets. Talking about sound, as we just were, we have finished the news, I guess. And we mentioned earlier the Eurovision Song Contest.
We certainly did.
Which was won by...
The Ukraine.
The Ukraine. Second place was Australia with a lady by the name of...
Dami M.
Dami M. And she did a song called Sound of Silence. This is the sound of silence that I know and love. Paul Simon, Art Garfunkel... This is from the. This is actually part of the opening sequence of the movie The Graduate, if you remember that.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked along narrow streets of cobblestone.
And we're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Jeff, you're driving an interesting car this week.
Well, I am, and it took me down a bit of memory lane in a little way because I'm driving this week a Hyundai Elantra. Now,
did you say memory lane or did you say some sort of an alley?
I'm going to go memory lane, only because I am... I'll stick with the brand, actually. I'll stick with Hyundai. I had a friend when I was about 17 years old. He is still a friend, but he had a Hyundai Accel.
I'm so sorry.
As 17-year-olds, we used to load these cars with all sorts of stereos. We used to replace the head units. It was a big deal to do that
so
in cars.
So you had a $3,000 car with a $20,000 stereo.
That was usually the case. Yes. My when I was 17, my stereo was worth more than the car as well. Yes. It was just part of what people did.
And even with a new car, that's a...
No, it's not. So what I discovered this week was how much car technology has evolved. And one of the reasons I'm going to bring this up is because when I was shown the car and, you know, shown a little bit around it, they mentioned that this car is not fitted with satellite navigation anymore. They do not put it into the car. It's not even an option. And the reason they do that is because they fit it with Apple CarPlay.
Well, we'll come back to the sat-nav in just a moment, but you will remember, of course, that a couple of years ago we spoke about the technology as it applied to the very high-end Lexus that I had, and we were most impressed with
the audio,
the sound.
But it didn't have Apple CarPlay.
No, it didn't. Carry on.
So Apple CarPlay, essentially, when you plug your iPhone into this car, the whole head unit just transforms. You have some applications from your phone will appear there, your messages, contacts.
It's only apps that they can trust not to distract you when you're driving, right?
Correct. Yes. So my Spotify icon appeared there, and essentially what it does is, you're right, is it takes it away from you touching your phone to play music. It takes you away from, you know, using your phone to launch podcasts, make calls. It will read your messages. And I found that using that made the experience better than any other car entertainment system I've used.
Yeah, it's completely. It is funny how, like, in general, car entertainment systems are all terrible and they're all years behind the technology that exists in your phone.
Agreed.
Yes. And This is something that Apple's been doing with CarPlay, and it's something that you'd like to see Google succeed with Android Auto, which is basically take control of the car stereo back and let it go into the hands of your device that is far more advanced than anything 100%. That they could possibly put in the car.
And it just takes the whole idea away of, oh, what sort of stereo do you have in your car? Because it doesn't matter. If we all had CarPlay or Android Auto, the experience would be the same for everyone, mm-hmm. and actually advancements would move faster. Because then you don't have different companies competing on that level.
When it's more around the speakers. Service, it's just suddenly it's, there.
Yep.
Yeah.
If you go back to how you started the story with a teenager with a Hyundai and you're putting different head units in, I can remember back again with an old Ford Escort in 1970-71 putting in a cassette player in the car rather than in a car that came without a radio.
Did you get to cruise the block and show off your cassette
player? We did Manies.
I can play 45 play 45 minutes of audio before I have to turn the cassette over.
Well, exactly, and I won't tell you some of the things that I used to do, however,
in 45 minute chunks.
Yes, exactly. But we come back to changing the head unit in your car, and you go down to the hi-fi store and you'd pay $800, $900 for a decent head unit. You'd pay
a couple hundred bucks
to install it. You'd pay several hundred dollars for the speakers. The boot would be taken up with a big subwoofer.
Yep.
And what you're really saying is install something that is Apple and or Google compatible instead of the head unit.
Yeah.
And now when you update your phone, which people do every between 12 and 24 months, you're also updating your stereo.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely changed. I mean, if you wanted to change the head unit on a car today, you'd have to do a lot more than just think about the head unit, because the cars are so integrated now. Your buttons are on the steering wheel. You've got the whole layout of the dash has been completely transformed, and it's not that simple as taking it down to a store anymore and ripping it out and putting a new one in.
It's really not. I know someone who's actually had an Android Auto unit installed, and it took them 3 weeks to take his car apart put it in.
Yeah, it's just not that simple. Yeah. So that was what I really wanted to talk about tonight, was just how much things have changed.
And how much they're changing.
It's getting better.
We spoke off-air about talking about the GPS system.
Mm.
I'm going to suggest that let's just delay that to the next segment.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we are going to run out of time on today's show.
Sounds good.
So let's do that, because the GPS systems in cars are more of exactly what you're talking about. And there's an interesting aspect to that I do want to raise.
Okay.
So next up, we've got some music. This is Australian music from a band in the late 60s, early 70s. Wonderful Sydney band, absolutely wonderful musicians. Now, you guys may or may not have heard of the Fairlight CMI. It is a very high-end music synthesizer. The guy who played keys in this band, Tully, is a consultant to the people at Fairlight. Now, Fairlight, it is a local Sydney organisation that is world famous. They're used all over the world.
Mm.
And it is based in Fairlight, which is Manly. This is Tully and the Paradise of Perfect Silence. Just listen.
It's not very
silent. No, it's not. Welcome back to the Gadget Grill on to RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band, on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. Before that last musical interlude, and that was, I thought, just a beautiful piece of piano music.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I missed it.
Just until the very end.
I was in the bathroom.
Yeah. Yes. We're talking about in-car entertainment systems and how things are changing in the world of in-car entertainment systems to the point where instead of buying a new head unit, you would just have something that is very basic that allows your car to talk to one of your phones.
Yeah, well, so that is actually a new head unit, though. Like, you actually do...
Yes.
The price of the head units that can do Android Auto and Apple CarPlay is actually fairly high.
Mm. Yes, and it shouldn't be, but hey.
But if you actually get a car that has it built in, then more power to you.
Now, Jeff, just in the last month or so, you've acquired a brand new car.
I have.
Does it have built-in GPS?
Yes.
Okay, have you inquired as to... Well, first of all...
Do you know how up-to-date your maps are?
That was the first question. How up-to-date is the mapping system in your car?
I have no idea.
Okay.
2004.
I don't know. I used it. I've used it and it works.
Okay, okay.
It works fine.
Okay. My car, I just got the rego papers in the mail last week for my car, which, as you know, I bought a year and a half ago. So yeah. The car's 2 years old.
Yep.
And when we go down to the south coast and we're down around the Bega Way,
yep.
The roads that are down there that have been there for at least 4 or 5 years, when we go down those roads, the GPS system in this car shows me as being...
just freaks out. It's like, oh my God, you've gone off-road.
You've gone off-road.
You're in Germany.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I suspect that you're going to find something very similar in your car.
I'm sure at some point, yeah.
Now, we're not talking cars that are cheap. We're talking fairly high-end automobiles.
Yeah.
And I know that, for instance, in my car... To upgrade the maps on the GPS,
yep.
The best I'm going to get is something that's going to still be 3 years out of date,
yep.
And it's going to cost me something in the vicinity of $700 to $1,000 at the dealer to get the map upgraded.
You are better off buying a new head unit.
Well, no, not buying a new head unit. The head unit is fine because it talks to my phone and I can play music.
Buy a new head unit so that you can use your phone to do Google Maps navigation.
But all I need to do is go down to the local... big box store.
Yeah.
Spend $200-$300. Get myself some sort of a portable navigation system. Plug that into the cigarette lighter. Stick it on the dashboard, and I've got myself an up to date.
But don't you have to pay for upgrades for those maps as well?
Not usually.
A lot of them are giving full lifetime upgrades on the maps now.
The only reason...
Lifetime of you or the company?
Yes.
Because I know which one's going to be shorter.
Yeah.
Oh.
You.
I don't know where you were going with that. my only reason that I would love to not ever have to stick anything to my window and things like that is because it's ugly. I love an integrated system. I love that my sat-nav at the moment doesn't rely on my phone or another device.
I agree 100% with what you're saying.
But practically... Completely, it makes sense. Or even using your phone, which will always have up-to-date maps.
Indeed.
So put a $30 cradle in your phone, you'll do it.
Indeed. This is Ice House. Baby, you're so strange.
Lazy.
And you're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2RDJ 88.1 FM and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com. We are now at the useless gadget section, and we have an application from Jason.
Yes, I have a useless gadget. I have been doing a little bit of research. This music seems appropriate.
Bringing you in gadget. Slowly.
Yeah. Do you have a cat in the house? I have a cat in the house. This is a gadget that I would not inflict on my cat. It is a Wi-Fi connected cat door.
Okay.
So the cat door connects to your Wi-Fi network.
Yep.
Which should be the first sign of a possible pain point if your Wi-Fi is anything like mine.
Uh-huh.
And your cat cannot get in or out without the particular tag on its collar.
Opening the door.
Opening
That's
the
genius.
Door. Uh-huh. Until your Wi-Fi network goes down and your cat's locked in or out of the house.
Who cares? The cat.
Oh. What if the cat needs to get outside to do something?
Well, let me paint a picture for you.
And earn money?
Let me paint a picture for you. Rather than the cat going outside, because cats do have indoor litter boxes.
No, not in my house, I don't.
What if your dog needs to get out?
Yeah, what if the dog needs to get out, right? To do the same thing that the cat might need to do.
If it needed to go and earn money,
if the dog needs to go out and, let's just say, have a comfort stop.
It's the same. I think it's the same activity Jason was talking about with the cat.
Yes, it is.
Same level of comfort relief, right?
But with a dog, it might be just a tad more
It's just bigger. It's the same thing, right?
It's just
the same thing. It's just larger.
It's like when I have to go outside for the same reason.
So the point is that the door could drop off your Wi-Fi network and thus...
And the cat would drop off on your carpet.
Ladies and gentlemen...
I would not inflict this on my cat.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a motion on the table.
Oh.
Finish the show.
I think that was the motion that we were talking about several
Indeed
times already
it was.
During the segment.
You have been listening to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. We come to you live every Sunday night directly from the studios in beautiful downtown Burwood from 9 until 10 p.m. And on Tuesdays, the show is rebroadcast between
2 and 3.
Thank you.
I thought you just crashed mid-sentence.
No.
I saw a bit of a blue screen fading in there.
No. I was just
his
waiting
eyes
to
roll
see.
Back and
I was just
suddenly
waiting
have to reboot
him. Either of you would come in and
color wheel.
Fill in for us. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like that episode of Red Dwarf.
It was a blue screen of death. A blue screen of death.
Was it a stare of death? The death stare.
Something
the Gary Stark death stare.
Yep.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thank you very much for listening. All of you, thank you everyone who nominated and voted for Jason and Ozdroid to win their Lizzie on Friday night. Congratulations.
Thank you, but
it is
two
very
in a row.
Important.
Two in a row.
Two in a row, absolutely.
I'm embarrassed.
Jason is wearing it very proudly on his sleeve.
He's wearing it around his neck like a Milli Vanilli.
It's a clock.
Yeah,
it's a clock. Yeah. Milli Vanilli a fake, by the way.
So there's more than one.
Milli and Vanilli? And we're done.
Yeah, I think we're done.
Taking us out tonight, it is a track by Charlie Hayden and Chet Baker. It's called Silence.
It's not very quiet.
It is very mellow.